Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Browns will be on the practice field here within the hour, and we'll keep you posted. Something interesting we hear that comes out of minicamp, by golly, we'll let you know. For instance, did Shadur complete a pass? It's kind of like, and Tom, I can't wait for this to happen. The minute that we start counting practice passes and completions and everything, and we've seen it already. I'm waiting for the Guardians to release Carlos Santana in BP hit 14 balls over the fence. And that means what?
Yeah.
Darius Garland hit 18 three-pointers.
Yeah.
He hit 79% of his threes in pregame warmups today. Hey, great.
I know. Yeah. It's gotten a little bit too much.
But that's where we are. Unfortunately, with this team of quarterback, Tom, that's where we are.
I know.
We're looking at everything and thinking, does that mean this? Does that mean this? It gives us tons to talk about, but yeah. Oh my God, please.
I got to tell you, it's been interesting for me. First of all, it's strange for me not being out there still.
Yeah, I bet.
A little bit of FOMO, but also a little bit of relief and not having to be consumed by it all and the tidal wave that is the Browns quarterback situation on a yearly basis.
I'm quasi-retired from the Associated Press.
There you go. But it's also given me a different perspective on, to your point, Jeff, kind of the
absurdity of some
paralysis
of it?
By analysis,
yeah.
The oversaturation, way too much, which is why I'm trying to be a little smarter in how I go about doing this with you guys, you know, just trying to bring a different perspective, but also being respectful of the job that the journalists are doing out there at camp, but also taking,
and they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Of course they are. Yeah. That's what they're paid to do. Right. But also taking everything with a grain of salt or two. So, fascinating stuff.
I mentioned before break, a little bit of rumbling, and this is one of those things, and this is the world we're living in, where somebody has thrown something out that made me think, really? And if you think about it a little bit, it might make some sense. Kurt Benkert is a guy who played quarterback in college at Virginia, went to the Green Bay Packers, and his NFL career didn't last real long. He played in one game. But now he's doing stuff and throwing stuff out on social media.
So he's an expert, is what you're saying.
Well,
yeah,
the guy has a
he
knows more about quarterbacks than I do.
You and I will never know. So, exactly. Yeah.
So good for him. But he went to Twitter and he's put out some stuff about quarterbacks and leading up to the draft that was pretty interesting. Yeah. on Monday night. He put this out on X. I wouldn't be shocked to see the Miami Dolphins trade for Browns quarterback Dylan Gabriel at the end of the preseason. And then he continues. He said they liked him a ton, saw him as an incredible scheme fit. Remember, they have Tua Tagovailoa there. Where's Dylan from? Hawaii. Where's Tua from? Hawaii. Who is Dylan's idol? Two guys, Marcus Mariota and Tua Tagovailoa.
All left-handers.
All Hawaiians. Mariota, right-hander, but a Hawaiian kid. And
Tua, then, left-hander.
Then Gabriel went to Oregon, where Marcus Mariota was. So, you know, that's where part of this is. He said the Dolphins liked him and were going to take him a few picks later, but the Browns drafted him. So the Browns beat the Dolphins to Dylan Gabriel. And then he said the Dolphins traded that pick away after Gabriel was no longer available. So they had a pick, third round, traded it away.
What about
it?
I got you.
Because they wanted him. I thought, yeah, great. Well, the Browns drafted him for a reason because they really liked him. So I immediately dismissed it and then immediately thought, but wait a minute. They have four quarterbacks.
There's going to be an odd man out.
And there's a fifth who probably won't play this year, but there is a fifth. I keep trying to think, Tom, can they possibly keep four quarterbacks? And Daryl has told me repeatedly, and I'm sure he's right, because I've said, you can't keep them on the roster. Can't keep four guys at cutdown day. And then, and even going into the season, to put a guy on the practice squad, you must expose him to waivers. That's correct, from everything I've been told, from what Daryl's told me. Well, the minute you do that, you might lose one of these guys. So let's just say Sanders looks as good as Gabriel, even though they drafted Gabriel early. Man, wouldn't you trade him rather than expose him to waivers? Because if the Dolphins like him, they're going to claim him.
We've learned, Jeff, that the quarterback line moves in the NFL, right? There's going to be changes. Somebody is going to, you know what? Somebody's going to get hurt in another camp. Somebody's going to get traded. Somebody's not going to be happy and sit out because of a contract. Pieces move all the time. So this is not a far-fetched scenario whatsoever, right?
No, it really isn't.
Especially
is it?
If, as he points out, they were as high on him as the Browns were. So obviously, there's already like an interest, right?
And he thinks that Gabriel is a great fit for the Dolphins
system.
Scheme.
And yeah. I don't disagree with that, right? I mean, based on what we saw Tua do down there and other backups.
And watching tape of Gabriel, I mean, he looks like Tua. Not just that he's left-handed.
Very much so. And I've said this to you and Dan off the air. I'm really intrigued by this kid. I like so much, and maybe it's a little bit based on the fact that the Browns liked him so much going into the draft, but I liked him in college when he was at Oklahoma, when he was at Oregon. He always seemed to make big plays, big throws, looked pretty darn good against Ohio State the first time around last year.
Great with his feet, too.
Now, granted, you know, the Buckeyes didn't blitz him and then kind of learned their lesson from that after playing them out in Eugene. But, yeah, I really like this kid. To your point earlier, Jeff, the composures he's shown in the news conference settings, that means something to me.
Tom, me too.
Yeah.
And now we've done this a long time. People would say, well, that doesn't matter. No, it actually does.
It's the way he carries himself.
It exudes leadership.
100%. And you can see that he's already had a good rapport with Flacco. I don't know if you guys saw in the social media thing the Browns put out yesterday, them at the media day doing
where
the photos
together. Where he looked like
together.
Flacco's son.
Yeah. But, you know, and they seem to be getting along well, which is important. And, you know, people have asked me, too, about back to Flacco for a second, this whole not necessarily wanting to be a mentor type art discussion. Joe doesn't want to come in and be labeled as, okay, you're here to be the mentor. What he's going to do is go about his business on a day-to-day basis.
Watch me.
And exactly.
Yep.
And hope all of that, those traits and those characteristics and those good habits that he's built throughout a 15, 17-year NFL career, whatever the case may be, that stuff rubs off on these young guys. And I think that's what the Browns are hoping for as well.
Number to join us is 216-474-0092. Demos and Shaker dialed those digits. Hi, Demos.
Hi, I've been enjoying the conversation here.
Thanks.
I think you're exactly right about Flacco. Look, when you talked about not knowing what's going to happen between now and Labor Day weekend, if you think about just, okay, could be an injury, right? Having four guys is okay for now. You know, God forbid that happens, but you never know. But when they picked Sanders, my first thought was, oh my God, Kenny Pickett is trade bait. That was my initial reaction there, because, you know, either he's going to be a reclamation project or he's not. And so, you know, we have the entire, you know, month of July and August to kind of figure all that out as to what the pecking order is going to be. And so there's kind of like two landing spots here, right? Either the two rookies are going to be both okay, and Flacco might start the season and Kenny, you know, Pickett gets traded, because somebody's going to need a quarterback in the league. So I'm not worried about trading someone. I did think the Miami thing was intriguing, but think about Sanders though for a minute here, where he's gone from. He's the golden child to some people, right? People are still pissed off he didn't get picked in the first round, but we ended up with him anyway. Now he's the fourth guy. He's the underdog, and people like underdogs too.
Do they ever, Demos?
So he's kind of got the best of both worlds. You talk about him getting a lot of press. It's because now he's got the people that always thought he was going to be great, and the people now are rooting for him because he's at the bottom of the pack. So, you know, it's going to be a wild ride here. It's going to be all kinds of speculation, as it always is here with the Browns. But so what? Let Stefanski play out August and, you know, in July, and see who rises up, if the cream rises to the top. And maybe we got lucky with two rookies. Who knows?
Demos, that's a real valid point. And Tom, because of, and this is where I do think draft position comes into play, because of where he was drafted, because of the fact that they have four quarterbacks, time now works in Shedeur Sanders' favor. You don't have to play him. If he doesn't play at all this year and he's on this team,
there's
a longer
clock for him. I agree with you.
And that might be a really good thing for him.
Yeah, the expectations have been lowered, right, mm-hmm. based on the draft spot. You know, Demos makes some good points there, too. I mean, you know, this is a guy that has been heralded from even before he got to Colorado, right? Everybody had their eyes on him. Because
Jackson
of,
State.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's Deion's son. Kid's a football player. And we'll see. You know, I had heard that, you know, there's been some talk about whether or not the Colorado offense was, you know, on a par with some of the bigger programs. Wasn't very complicated necessarily. I think, Jeff, you pointed out that he completed more passes behind the line of scrimmage than any other T1 quarterback.
That,
I mean, there's
that
some things
was a that, stat that I saw yeah, that I, some, I found amazing, especially considering the offensive coordinator was Pat Shurmur,
who was
an NFL quarterback, but the offensive line wasn't very good. He got sacked like crazy.
A thousand times, right.
So he didn't have the running game or the line to help him get the ball downfield, and he had Travis Hunter.
I was just going to say, but Pat also understood that he had number 12, and that kid could play and get the ball in his hands as often as you can. So, yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, as Demo said as well, and as we've talked about earlier today, it's going to be a day-to-day, week-to-week, if not throw-to-throw basis here as we go forward between now and the end of the summer. So as I mentioned earlier as well, I like the fact that the Browns have numerous options here. I like the fact that you've got Joe Flacco sitting to the side. I was one of the big proponents of bringing him back last year, despite the fact that it was going to make Deshaun Watson uncomfortable. I thought that was a huge mistake. I think they remedied that, obviously, and in some ways maybe admitted that that was a mistake. Something they should have done a year ago.
Or at least the whole plan to base it around Deshaun didn't work.
Well,
so they went back to...
You know, and I think back to this time a year ago, guys... I can remember Scott Petrek and I walking out of a few practices, looking at each other and saying, Deshaun can't play. I mean, that shoulder is bad. I mean, you want to talk about like he couldn't fire the ball downfield. And I kept thinking, when is this going to get better? And then you factored in all the other things, you know, the rust, you know, all the off the field stuff. So I'm glad from a Browns fan standpoint that at least they are beyond that. And there's actually competent quarterback play taking place out on the field that they can evaluate. That's a step forward.
And one thing, people tend to forget it already. It certainly hasn't worked with Deshaun here. Will it ever work? I'd be stunned. He couldn't play up to his capabilities last year. Let's not forget, when he was in Houston and was playing, not sitting out that year. Man, he was good.
It was great.
He was really good. And it hasn't worked out here. They'll be on the field in Berea coming up here in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll keep you updated. Anything that might happen, stay tuned. We'll give you some updates. And then we'll be going out to Berea for press conferences, probably late in the noon hour and then into the 1 o'clock hour is day two of mandatory minicamp. That's fun stuff. What's not fun stuff is what we're seeing offensively out of our baseball team. Nor is it fun to watch Terry Francona doing his usual post-game celebration with his players at Progressive Field, but they're wearing uniforms that say Reds. Terry can get the sweep. We're going to talk some Guardians and lack of offense next, right here on Baskin and Phelps. Tom Withers is in for Andy today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Andy's not in today. Tom Withers is.
Hi.
Former king of the Associated Press in Cleveland, covering everything there was to cover. Dano's flying our ship today. And, you know, I say that. I think I need to change that up. I think I'm tired of saying Dan flies the ship. This is no ship. You're just running the show.
It's why, gosh, it had to have been 5 years ago, on an inside joke, I started referring to myself as the chairman of the board, and I think that's what we got to do.
All right, I'll do that.
I want to
because
refer,
you
I refer,
do run the board.
I want to refer to him as Do It All Dan today because he did bring in a chair to help me prop up my surgically repaired knee. So that was huge.
That's very nice.
We got to take care of people.
That's very nice.
We take care of each other.
And Meredith takes our phone calls today 216-474-0092. Again, we'll keep you up to date with everything going on as minicamp gets rolling today. And then during the 1 o'clock hour and maybe a little bit before, get ready. We're going to have some intriguing press conferences for you. Intriguing is a hint. So you probably want to stick around and hear who speaks and what they have to say. I'm looking forward to it. The Guardians are trying to avoid being swept. How about that, Dan? So with that in mind, Terry Francona trying to take three straight from his former team, but saying it's not about him. which it's not. But boy, it's tough watching Terry sit there and have that congratulatory line at the end of the game, like we saw so many times at Progressive Field. But now with the enlarged reds on his chest, it's a weird looking uniform, but I like it, I guess. With that in mind, Dan Menigan, take it away.
It's time to check on Cleveland's starting nine, powered by Bet365 Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians.
All right, gentlemen, we have a 1-10 start at Progressive Field today for the final game between the Guardians and the Reds. Of course, the Ohio Cup going to be propping open a door in Cincinnati now after propping open doors in Cleveland for a good period of time. So, leading off for the Guardians today in center field, Lane Thomas. Hitting second, the designated hitter, David Fry. Third will be Jose Ramirez, playing third base today. Hitting fourth, the first baseman, Carlos Santana. Fifth will be the shortstop, Gabriel Arias. Nolan Jones, the left fielder, will be hitting sixth today.
Oh, Nolan Jones is playing. Thank you.
He's playing.
Sorry.
Hitting seventh today, Jonathan Rodriguez. He will be over in right field. Catching today in the squat, throwing down the signs to give the nod to Mike Kruko wherever possible. Dom Nunez will be catching today.
Welcome, Dom. Good to have you here.
Mm-hmm. Second baseman Angel Martinez will hit ninth, and Logan Allen will toe the rubber for the Guardians today as they take on the Reds' first pitch once again at 1:10 today. And gentlemen, that is your starting lineup.
That's Cleveland starting nine, powered by Bet365 Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians.
Tom, apparently Stephen Vogt was listening at the beginning of the show, and you said, you know, Angel Martinez looks like a nine hitter. And there he is, hitting ninth. It's
kind of the perfect spot for him, right? He's kind of that second leadoff guy, if you will. He's got a little bit of speed, can kind of turn the lineup over when it gets down to the bottom there. I think that is a good spot. Who's in the two spot? I'm sorry.
David Fry.
David Fry. He's got to get going.
He's hitting 150.
I know. But this is like spring training for him.
Right? I know.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe that's the way to look at it, Tom.
Yeah.
I think you're right on that one. Maybe that's because I was about to be very mean. And now that you said that, I'm like, okay, fine. Maybe I shouldn't be.
Well, he's right, but I don't like it.
Kind of feel the same way about, sorry to interrupt, feel the same way about Lane Thomas as well, right? He's only at about 60 at-bats. I expected so much more.
You ready?
Go ahead.
129.
I know, it's rough.
In 19 games.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and Andy and I kicked some of this around yesterday, but Tom, it would appear, based on things you can't ignore that I think have some legitimacy to them, you traded for Lane Thomas. He had some moments for you last year, but he hit 209 overall.
He did.
Last year.
He was Mr. October, though.
Yeah, he was really good. Don't forget that. And he's been injured twice this year. He's been not good in 19 games, not a home run, three runs batted in. He's hitting 129.
Yeah.
And in his career, he's had one really good offensive season, a couple that were okay. They seem locked into, if he's healthy, he's going to play. They also seem locked into, even though David Fry can't play a position because of recovering from Tommy John surgery,
he's going to hit, right?
That he's going to hit.
Yeah.
And I think, is that problematic?
I think it is, Jeff. I think you just touched on a phrase that holds true to a bad degree for this team, is locked in. They seem to get locked in on too many things, right? And they get to be their own worst enemy in that, not being as flexible and as adaptable as they need to be, right? Whether it's dipping down into the minor leagues to bring some guys up and try some new things.
Yeah.
They, as we mentioned earlier, I felt like John Kenzie Noel should have been down in Columbus in
a month ago,
April.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, what are they waiting for here? Now, granted, there are always things that are going on beyond the scenes that we don't know about, right? Whether, you know, DeLauder or Kafis or whoever they're thinking about bringing up is dealing with something down there. Maybe they weren't ready for whatever reason. But they do seem to get locked in and locked down on some things that they need to let go of, right? And
I couldn't agree more.
And to your point earlier, like that 10 games out magic number, if you will, that you are arbitrarily using. But I think it's quite arbitrarily. But it's a number, right? And it's something you got to think about because this Detroit team doesn't show any signs of slowing down. So you're going to have to figure it out what kind of team you want to be this year.
And also, there's a team between you and Detroit, and that's Minnesota. And though they're closer to the Guardians, so it's not just tracking down one team. It's tracking down one team and then trying to sneak your way above the other.
Oh, and Kansas City's right on your heels as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's tough. So, and I threw these thoughts out yesterday about Kyle Manzardo. He's really struggled. In his last 11 games, he's hitting 121. And that kind of coincides with David Fry coming up. It started before David got here, but Kyle's not getting at bats now. Well, he was, you know, for a while leading in home runs and runs batted in this year.
And he was hitting lefty pitchers as well, which we thought was going to be an issue.
Yeah, in fact, his batting average is the same, 205, so 206, lefty-righty.
Is the bottom line with this team, Jeff, is that they've just kind of come back to where maybe they should have been? You know, there were so many junctures
maybe even last year.
Yeah, there were so many junctures last season where I thought, okay, they can't keep doing this. And they went wire to wire, right? And so they played way beyond what my expectations were for them, even though I thought they could win 86, 88 games. I had them in that range. Now they are one of the bottom teams in the league offensively across the board, right? They're getting decent starting pitching. The bullpen has been solid, right? Yeah. I think it needs another arm or two, maybe.
Clase's been terrific since...
After an early struggle.
After April, yeah.
Right? So is this team maybe just... Maybe where they're supposed to be? I don't know.
Well, Tom, you look at the position players, and I threw these numbers out at the beginning of the show, and I hate to throw numbers out all the time, but sometimes I think they're very,
very
telling.
Relevant. Yeah.
Carlos Santana is the third leading hitter batting average-wise on this team, and I know all the new things say slugging percentage, on-base percentage. I still look at a guy's batting average because, to me, it's a pretty baseline stat. There are only two guys hitting higher than Carlos, who's at 251.
Yeah.
And they have 18 guys who have been to the plate this year. 10 of them have batting averages under 200. 10 of the 18 have a batting average that begins with a one.
Staggering.
That's awful.
Staggering. Do they miss Chris Valleca? I mean,
I don't know.
You know, because apparently,
former hitting coach
Dan would know because he gets deeper into these numbers than I do. You know, the Reds have statistically, analytically, been amongst the best team in baseball this year in terms of, I don't know, Dan, you
hard hit ball percentages,
those kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
That those are all trending up for them. Where with the Guardians, it's kind of going in the other direction. I don't want to put too much on one person or what have you, because you know there was a fair amount of criticism directed at Chris as well while he was here. The thing that gets me, guys, is the poor at-bats that I see too often. Like you mentioned Carlos Santana, Jeff, who's batting 251. He also gives you a quality at-bat damn near every time he goes to the plate.
He's
right?
a professional hitter.
He's a professional hitter. They don't have enough of those guys here.
No.
But I think you're also getting to the point, though, where something's got to happen. Now, maybe all this second and third guessing that we're going to do is going to turn out to be moot, and they're going to go on a little winning streak here, because that's what happened last year. It seemed like every time I was like ready to bury this team, they would take off again.
Yeah,
they just have not played good, consistent ball all season.
Let me bounce some second base thoughts off you guys, and this to me is a concern. You traded Andrés Giménez. I don't overall have an issue with that because he wasn't hitting like a guy who is going to be exploding dollar-wise. I get it. I mean, phenomenal glove. Man, I love watching that guy play. But he's no Roberto Alomar. And he is defensively, but Roberto is the total package, and you pay that guy accordingly.
Hall of Famer.
Andrés was being paid like a guy who was the total package, and he's not, even though I think he had a big game last night offensively. So you go into it and you think, all right, we got Brian Rocchio. He's coming up. He's looking good. We're going to give Gabe Arias his chance to because he's out of options. Well, then Rocchio doesn't hit. And we all know the story. And now you're throwing different guys in there at different spots. And it's like, oh, boy, how's this working out? And so far, it's not working out real well. It's second base right now. Martinez is getting some run, right? Real nice start. 333 in April, 213 in May, 111 in June. So the offensive pop that Angel showed early isn't there. Arias has been okay. It's been fairly consistent, but nothing outrageous. He's hitting 250 in June, and now he's playing shortstop. Schneeman's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Rocchio in AAA is hitting 253, and he's showing a little pop with six home runs. Is the answer bring Rocchio back up here ASAP, put Arias back at second base and go? Or what? Zach Meisel covers the Guardians for The Athletic. Tom, I want your thoughts on this when we come back.
Sounds great.
I'm going to bounce that off Zach. I think you got to do something here because you're getting nothing out of second base and you're not playing Schneeman. And is he the answer? I don't know, but he's hitting better than the other guys. And you're not scoring runs. Seems like a mess. Next on Baskin and Phelps.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's the situation right now with the Guardians. They play this afternoon against Terry Francona's Cincinnati Reds. And we'll see what happens. Last night, 1-0. 3 hits for the Guardians. That was it. And it's kind of problematic because that's been the issue here. They've lost 10 of 15, averaging 3 runs a game in that stretch and under 3 or fewer runs in 8 of those 15 games. Tom Withers is in for Andy Baskin today. I'm Jeff Phelps. We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He covers the Guardians for The Athletic. We love having him on the show. He's Mr. Zach Meisel. Hello, Zach.
Jeff, it's just you and me here. How's that other guy next to you doing?
He's doing okay. He seems to be enjoying himself. He's got some cool beads around his neck. He's got his leg in a brace and popped up. He's got ski poles.
He's upright, and that's an improvement.
Yeah.
This is weird. It's well, like the rare time in history where Terry Francona has been in better shape than Tom Withers.
Ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for Baskin and Phelps. Thank you very much. That's the line of the day
there, man.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Wait till Tito hears that one.
Okay, let me just get this one. I'll tee you up. Are there internal solutions to the offensive issues?
No.
Okay.
I mean, there are incremental improvements you can make. Well, let's start with this. First of all, it's never as bad as it seems when you're at this point. And it's never as great as it seems when you're just flourishing and you can do no wrong, right? So it's somewhere in the middle. But right now, after a shutout loss on the heels of another frustrating offensive night, it's bad. And there are some internal things, I think, like Kyle Manzardo and even Stephen Kwan is in a little bit of a funk. And, you know, they need to get Fry going and Lane Thomas going. Like, there will be some rebounds with the guys you have. I think they need to dip into AAA and get a better understanding of what C.J. Kafis can do and what Chase DeLauder can do. I think it's imperative that they get Juan Brito healthy and get him up here when he's right. But those guys aren't saviors right now. Like, that's not going to fix this and make this an above-average offense. I think where they're hurting is they just didn't upgrade a lineup that I think everybody could see from far away wasn't good enough. You know, it wasn't good enough in the playoffs, and they didn't do anything to address it over the winter. And so now, you know, it's going to take a lot of work from the front office, and it's going to take a lot of guys to sort of figure it out or blossom. And, you know, these are the same conversations we've had for a while, right? Like, they're getting awesome output from Jose Ramirez, like maybe the best of his career. They're getting above average output in left field. And even at second base, where Daniel Schneeman's been pretty good, where Carlos Santana at first base and DH has defied Father Time. And so that's great. Like, half the lineup has exceeded expectations. And then the other half, it's not like it's just like, it's not quite doing it. No, it's like worst in the league in right field and center field and among the worst in the league at shortstop. Catcher has been a little better lately, thankfully, but that was in that group too. And these are positions where they haven't gotten offense in like 20 years. So, something's got to change at some point, you would think. But, you know, they're still searching for an answer in right field that they haven't had since like Shin-Soo Choo. So, yeah, I don't know what the solution is.
Zach, there were times last year, many of them, where we would walk out of the ballpark and kind of look at each other and say, can this team keep doing this? And they continued to do it, and they went wire to wire, and it was marvelous, and 92 wins, and they come within 3 wins of making the World Series and blah, blah, blah. Is what we're seeing now, though, more of a reflection of what this team really is? I mean, is this a team that's just a little bit better than average in the AL? Do you think this is kind of... have they just kind of come back to where they're supposed to be?
Probably, but I do think there's something to be said that's intangible that you can't find a statistic for, where things just click and you have that season that's just magical for whatever reason. And, you know, I remember saying last May, I think they were like 36-17 at one point. And I declared, I'm no longer going to try to figure it out. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have
to let it happen,
sense,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like they basically went wire to wire, and at no point did they look like some juggernaut who was destined to win a World Series. But who cares, right? Like, you know, sometimes the sum is greater than the parts, and so the issue is you can't just rely on that taking place every year. Every team is different year to year, even if the personnel only changes a little bit. So. Right. I think that's been an issue. It seems like they've had some bad, like, I think the starting rotation is trending toward a really good place. Like, I love what I've seen from Slade Ciccone. I like what I've seen, not quite as consistent as you'd like, but from Luis Ortiz. I still think Gavin Williams can be a really good pitcher, and Tanner Bibee, I think, is a frontline starter. So there's like good things there, but it feels like, you know, maybe a night like the other night where Luis Ortiz just didn't quite have it, like, that's the night where they just don't get quite enough offense, right? And then other nights, you know, last night, Ciccone looked great, the bullpen was great, and you get no offense. So you lose 1-0, or you lose 7-5, or like it's not adding up.
So how do you recapture that magic, though, that you talked about, Zach? I mean, they're not playing the guards ball that everybody fell in love with last year. I mean, with the exception, I think, Sunday's game where they got like a single and a bloop and a throwing error, and you know, things kind of fell their way to get that 4-2 win. They just haven't manufactured runs like they did last year. How do you get that back?
Well, Tom, they don't have an identity. What is this team good at? I don't know the answer
Very
to that
true.
Yet. You know, I think it's going to be the rotation, but it's taken, you know, some rough stretches to get to this point with the pitching. So, you know, I think last year they were so patient. Remember, they went through that funk in August. They lost seven straight, and then the Royals caught up to them for a minute. And Stephen Vogt said, you know, we got to stay the course, and we're not going to hold team meetings and throw chairs and do stuff just to do stuff. And he was proven correct. I mean, they picked it up, and obviously they made the run to the ALCS. I almost think they've leaned on that strategy too much so far, where they're too patient and they're too confident that things are going to turn around. I'm just, you know, it took forever to get Chonkezi Noel back to Columbus, and they were admitting for a month that he was being put in a tough position to succeed, and yet they kept trotting him out there in that tough position to succeed. So I just think they need to be a little more aggressive with whether it's call-ups or just changing the playing time, not relying so much on, you know, they faced four lefties in a row here, so your Daniel Schneeman and Kyle Manzardo haven't played. And, like, that's not going to help their development. So it's, you know, they're perennially trying to balance contention and development, and it seems like right now they're not really making much progress on either front.
Zach Meisel joining us, covers the Guardians for The Athletic. And I was just going to follow up with something that you just touched on. Tom and I talked about them being locked in. They seem to be locked in on the idea of having to have a platoon in right field. And Chonkezi Noel, it sure hurt him. Now what's it going to do to Jonathan Rodriguez? How about just putting Nolan Jones out there, who hits the same against lefties and righties? And at second base, pick somebody and go. And, you know, you've been bouncing guys all over the place. Is the big picture this, Zach? They seem really locked in. And those are those words again. Locked in on David Fry having to have at-bats, even though he can't play a position. And I know David had his moments last year. And also locked in on seeing, man, we got to get Lane Thomas going, even if it's killing us. And it's kind of killing him with both of those guys right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to the beginning of the year. I think Kyle Manzardo is like the perfect case study here, because remember, he starts the year just on fire, and he was doing it all against lefties. And it's like, wait, we thought this guy was going to be, you know, he's going to feast on righties, and once Fry came back, he'd probably cut into Manzardo's playing time against lefties. And instead, you know, Manzardo certainly cooled off against everybody, but never quite got going against righties, and now lefties, they're facing a bunch of lefties, and he's not even playing, and it's just, I don't know. I want players who have the opportunity to prove that you can just hit everybody. Like, I want good hitters. I don't care if they hit lefties, righties, both. Like, just they need to find young players who can just prove themselves to be in the lineup every day. I mean, Schneeman has done everything you could ask and more against righties, and yet he's not really played in this series because they face lefties. And it's like, well, hasn't he earned a shot to prove that he can hit lefties too? So this is what I mean, where it's, you know, you're trying to not give young players too much that they can't handle, and yet also prove that they can handle things, and you're trying to win, and it's that. I don't know. Like, I want to see CJ Kafis soon, but I also fear that they're going to call up Kafis or DeLotte or, you know, play them only against righties, and you know, it's just, it's more of the same. I don't know. Hopefully, you know, like, Travis Bazzano was the number one overall pick, right? Like, you hope whenever he comes up at some point next season, it's not just to face righties in a part-time role. So I don't know. They're in a tough spot. There's no answer waiting on the other side. Like, I think in Boston, they called up the top prospect in baseball, and they're like hoping it saves their season.
Roman Anthony.
That's not happening here. They need several fixes.
You led me right to DeLotte and Kafis, though, Zach. I'm surprised one or both of them hasn't been here already. Do you see that on the near horizon, though? Do you think that's possible in the next week or so? Is it dependent on what happens over the next few games?
It should be. You know, they've obviously, they weren't going to do it for this series with the Reds throwing three lefties. They're going to face a bunch of righties coming up. So it would make sense. You know, the thing with Kafis is they wanted him to get comfortable in the outfield because Santana and Manzardo and Fry are clogging up first base in DH. So, you know, he was playing a lot of corner outfield in Columbus, and then DeLotte came back from injury. George Valera came back from injury, and all of a sudden Kafis was back to first base at AAA. So I don't know. Jonathan Rodriguez is not much of a fielder out there in right field. If they're comfortable throwing him out there, they should be fine throwing Kafis out there. And then with DeLauder, you know, they had this progression that they've been giving him a little bit more playing time week after week to prove he can stay healthy, because he's never done that. But you could make the argument that, well, if you're worried about his health and his availability, why not get whatever availability he's got and deploy it at the major league level? That dude's done nothing but hit everywhere he's been. So, you know, you never know if a kid is ready or not, but I think the team is ready for them.
Zach, thank you, sir. Great perspective.
You got it, guys. This is weird. I don't like talking to you without seeing you, Tom. Come on.
I might stop over later. I'll see.
There you go.
If I survive the next 2 hours here, maybe I'll make a little trip over. Nice talking to you, Z.
I know your knee's bad, so you might not be able to walk here, but you can take Tito's scooter if you need it.
It's available.
Still available, yeah.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, take care, guys.
Zach Meisel covers the Guardians for The Athletic. He joined us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device. Plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.